can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Make your voice heard. Join the Council for the Model Aquatic Health Code. Lend your expertise to the MAC, science-based guidance from the CDC, and the only all-inclusive national pool code that addresses current aquatic issues. Learn more at cmac.org. That's cmahc.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Tuesdays with Dan. Welcome to April. What are we into? About the third week of April or so in the Chicago market. We're well into our opening season. Things are rolling right along. Memorial Day is a target, I think, for most of the industry. But in the snowbelt areas where we close pools in the fall and open them back up in the winter, the especially the Chicago market, last part of March, very first of April through Memorial Day tends to be the craziest time of the year for us, for sure. Thought I'd talk just a little bit today about how we do business or how we as an industry do business and some things to consider, especially given that COVID is over. The COVID drive that's given us so much in the last few years, it's been easy to not worry about business, right? Everything just sort of happened. We were much more order takers than we were salespeople. We were many of us not really keeping our eye on customer service in many ways. And we're certainly going to see 2024 play out to be a challenge in a lot of ways. So I want you to think a little bit as I talk today about how you do business and how easy you make it for your customers or for new customers to do business with you. The aspect of having easy ways of conducting transactions and easy ways to get a hold of you, easy ways to have conversations, becomes more and more important in times like these. And it always has routinely through the years when we've had downturns, like the most recent one being the housing crash. So some of the things that you might consider, that we've been doing it all seasons for a number of years, and in an effort to try to make it easier for people to do business, is and while doing so, also keeping your eye on protecting yourself and controlling the potential liability and such, or managing expectations. All those things are tied together and a big part of customer service. If somebody is wanting you to do something for them, say they're looking for you to install, I think last week I was talking about natural fuel gas code. So let's say it's a pool heater. Do you have an agreement that is written that spells out what you're going to do, the limitations of what you're going to do, what it's going to cost, how payments are going to be made, what the warranties are, and how those warranties are handled? Or do you just get a phone call or happen to be in someone's backyard and say, hey, you need a new heater and it's going to be this much money and I'm going to put it in? We have agreements for everything. I know in the past I've talked about electronic signatures, which I'm a very strong believer in. We use Adobe's electronic signature service. We send out agreements for almost everything we do. We want to make sure that we're managing the customer's expectations at a very high level so that they know what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. If we get on site and we find that something is abnormal, that we're trying to cover that in the agreement. On heaters, for example, we put in our agreements that we're connecting to existing gas, electric, and pool plumbing, water connections within 5 feet of the heater's location. So if we get out there and we find that the gas line is inadequately sized, as I was talking about last week, that we have no obligation to replace that gas line to make it proper. You know, through the years, we've run into all kinds of things, and there have been instances many years ago where the homeowner said, well, you said you're going to put in the heater. If it's not right, you got to fix it. You know, you gave me a price. A price is a price. And to cover our butts, we put that language in there that we're connecting within 5 feet. Anything outside of that, if there are electrical issues that are found, you know, the heater, we want them on a GFI. And these are gas heaters, of course. Heat pumps are a different story, but gas heaters, the power supply, we want them on a GFI. If there isn't a GFI there, well, we're connecting to the existing electric. If the existing electric didn't have a GFI, whether it's a pump, a light, whatever it is, then that needs to be addressed, and that would be over and above the scope of work, and it would be an additional charge. And it's as clear as we can make it on the agreement to the homeowner that that's the way it goes. Our agreements include the warranty statements. So when we put in that heater, we, as everyone knows, our Pentair dealers and Master Temp heaters that we install have a 2-year warranty from Pentair. Last year, we began a program where we double that warranty out of all seasons pocket. So we provide an additional 2 years at the end of the factory 2 years. It's an effort to battle a little bit with online sales, to give people more comfort in working with all seasons and add value to what we do and you know, help to further illustrate why we're a top 50 service company and a top 50 builder and a top 100 retail organization in the country, because we stand behind what we do at very, very high levels. And the warranty is spelled out on the agreement as well. So it's all up front before they ever sign anything. They know what the warranty is and how it's applied. We have some language in there that during those additional 2 years, there are some minor fees incurred if they call us out to look at the heater. We do on heaters, if the heater's not working, we offer a service we refer to as a heater diagnostic, where a technician goes out, evaluates the heater. It's done for a fee. We get $199, I believe, for a heater diagnostic, if I'm not mistaken. Technician will go out, evaluate the heater, find out what's wrong with it. When he finds out what's wrong with it, he'll have a conversation with the homeowner saying, you need a new XYZ, and the cost of it is going to be this. That's over and above the diagnostic fee. If you have us put that component in and get the heater working for you, then we're going to guarantee the diagnostic portion of this service call for 12 months. So 2 months down the road, if they have the heater not working again and they call us up, we're going to send a technician out there for free to re-diagnose the problem. Now, if they choose not to have us do the repair, there is no guarantee on the diagnostic. But if they have us do the repair, then we guarantee the diagnostic for 12 months. Helps alleviate a lot of aggravation. You know, what do we get the calls on? Heater's not working. Your guy was just out here. I paid $500 2 months ago and it's not working again. Your guy doesn't know what he's doing. It has nothing to do with what we did 2 months ago. It's a new issue, et cetera, et cetera. It's very easy to diffuse it with this warranty that's on our diagnostic. And, you know, that diagnostic is also an agreement that gets sent to the customer and gets signed off on electronically before we are scheduling that call. With that, too, something like a diagnostic for $199, we're collecting that fee at the time of scheduling. So when they sign the electronic agreement and the agreement states it in there, they put their credit card information into the agreement and we process that credit card when it comes back as we're scheduling the call. So the diagnostic is paid in full before we ever go out there. We also have our technicians when they're on site, if they call a customer and say there's a repair needed, it's this much money. And the customer approves it, we use a messaging platform, text messaging platform called Podium that everyone in the company has access to, is in and on Podium to see all the conversations going on. Technician will follow up that phone call if it is a phone call. Sometimes the conversation is just through text through Podium. But if it's a phone call, they'll follow it up through Podium, sending a message saying, This message is just to confirm you okayed me installing this XYZ part for $500. I'm going to get that put in today, and you'll have a 12-month guarantee on the $199 diagnostic that you've paid us for. They contact the office to have that credit card hit for that $500 repair before then installing the part so that we know that we're covered. We don't have any outstanding debt. So it's been a critical thing for me for decades to minimize our outstanding debt, and these agreements and credit card attached to it as part of that declaration and requiring people to do business with us in a certain way has really done that. And you'd be surprised how we get very, very little pushback on it. I would say almost none in the service end of our business. And it's not unlike anything else. If you were anything else you purchase, you pay for before you get it. Why our service is considered different? Now, in certain states, there are limitations as to what you can do with all that kind of stuff, and I get that. But in the state of Illinois, we're not there yet. We can do business in the way I describe, and you should certainly look into regulations around you before implementing something like this if it were to be a change for you. But wherever possible, if you can collect money up front, a couple of things. One, it stops them from shopping around. So let's say that you get a phone call, someone does have a heater problem, you set them up for a service call. Maybe you can't get there for a week or two, or it's this time of the year, and maybe you're even 3 or 4 weeks out. If they put money down to schedule the call, I feel they're much less likely to cancel that service call and much less likely to continue looking for someone else. It's already been done. I've got it set. They're going to come out next week. I know it's not tomorrow and whatever, but it's done and over with. I'm busy. I don't have time. Forget about it. I'm done. When they don't put money down, they're a little bit more prone to continue hunting and seeing who else they might stumble on that could get out there sooner. So it helps to tie things up. Our agreements also spell out cancellation policies. So if we put you into our schedule, and this is especially critical in the busy time of the year, we used to, many years ago, have people where when we would contact them the day before, typically by text, and say, your appointment's tomorrow, we're reminding you, we expect to be there in this window of time. At that point, we would be told, oh, I don't need you anymore. I had someone else take care of it. And now we've got a jump to try to maximize that technician's day. We just dropped a service call. It could be an hour, it could be two, it could be more out of his day. What are we going to do to fill that spot? It's not always easy to do, and there's a lot of overhead that goes into it. So we implemented a handful of years ago a cancellation policy that if they cancel, they need to do it 48 hours or more in advance of the scheduled date to get a full refund for their deposit. If they cancel within 24 hours, there is a penalty of $50 that they're going to pay for canceling. And if they cancel in less than 24 hours, there's a $150 penalty for canceling, just to help offset some of the loss of revenue that we have by them sort of stringing us on that way. That's really helped to control those last minute cancellations and minimize some of our lost revenue. You know, in our market, we have truly April 1 to November 1 to make probably 85-90% of our revenue for the year. So we're pushing real hard to be extremely efficient, to capitalize on everything at a high level and be very, very quick, and not to have downtime or not to fill out days for our technicians. And you know, if you go through week after week after week of cancellations that happen this way, it does end up affecting your bottom line. So we implemented those policies, and same kind of thing. We've not had much pushback on that either. And you go to a doctor today, they've all got cancellation policies in similar veins. So something that we've implemented. The agreements that we send out using this Adobe e-signature service, we send out quotes to the customer. Once they accept it, then we schedule it. We don't schedule it before we get it back because, of course, oftentimes people don't end up finalizing things. They look somewhere else. They decide not to do it, whatever the case is. When we send the quote out, Adobe allows us to have the Adobe service automatically send the quote out again to remind people. And you can, every quote that you send, you can put different parameters. You could have it sent every day. You could have it sent twice a week, every week. But we keep getting it in front of the people at intervals that makes them remember they asked for this, makes them think about it again and again, and hopefully, decide to go ahead and click through it, sign it, and get the thing going. Again, it's about making it easy. Don't make them have to remember that they were looking to have this done. People are busy. So we automate that process through the electronic signature. And of course, we also have our sales team is doing follow-up with people as well on quotes that are going out, and they're texting, emailing, calling, things of that nature. But oftentimes just simply seeing that email from the electronic signature thing come through a couple days later is enough of a prompting. I have the issue myself, my email, my inbox is my to-do list, if you will. And as things get pushed down in that to-do list, sometimes they're off screen and out of mind. Bring it back up to the top by sending another one out a couple days later. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that. You know what? I got to get this done. Let me click through this thing and get this going. Make it simple. Make it easy. For those who have seasonal operations on the service end of things, something else that we've done for a long, long time is pre-scheduling all of our openings and all of our winterizings in advance and proactively reaching out to customers with these agreements. Again, now we're using the Adobe service, but years ago we used to mail them before we had all of these, abilities of signing things electronically and such. But we would schedule our openings over the winter, which then gives our office staff something to do, which keeps our office staff employed, which is always a good thing to do. We back then we mailed them. Now we email them out. We typically send them out in February, asking for them to be returned by a certain date to guarantee their spot in the schedule. And that spot in the schedule is based on the prior year. So once someone has an opening or closing done with us, they pretty much are locked into that same time of year after year after year, as long as they sign these agreements and get them back to us with the deposit requirements before whatever drop dead date we put on it. So they don't have to think about it. And for us, the change was mostly because when we got to this time of the year, the phones were ringing off the hook. Everybody was calling in saying, I got to get my pool open. I got to get it open. Instead of dealing with that during the busiest time of the year, we deal it during the slowest time of the year, get the contract set out. We certainly allow people to change the dates. Things change. They maybe have trips or other things going on that they want to change it. We have room in the schedule that we accommodate that. And the longer, the sooner that those customers reach out, the more availability we have. And they understand that. It's also something we put in every cover letter that's attached to the agreement to help them navigate through what is our busiest time of year. Doing that, and because we are able to ask for deposits, it has helped our cash flow tremendously. So we actually have money coming in February and early March, where a couple decades or more ago, we didn't. We've got significant deposit requirements. Usually it's around 50% of the opening amount. So we've got that cash in the bank to help start paying the bills and everything else that that we're incurring as the season gets started. Through this process, we've done similar things with chemical sales, not only through our service department relative to our maintenance customers, but also through our retail store relative to anyone that buys from us. We send out to anyone who has bought from us in previous years a list of all of the products they bought from us last year. And we do that in February, and then we have an early buy period of a couple of weeks that they can order however much of whatever chemicals they want for the season. We give them a significant discount. It's initially 20%. It diminishes over the length of the sale, but and then we deliver it all again during that slow time of the year. So we've got a considerable income starting as early as February in Chicago. And for those that don't know, February in Chicago, it's not really a vacation stop. Not a whole lot of sunshine and warmth and beaches and everything else. It's cold, it's wet, it's snowy, rainy, it's miserable. And pools are not something that people are really thinking of or doing much with. So for us to generate these revenue streams in the off season helps our business tremendously, and especially in heading into that part of the year where we've been, you know, spending money through the winter that we don't have the revenue that we do the rest of the year. It really is a shot in the bank account to get us going. But it's about the convenience for the customer. It's about reaching out to them and making it as easy as possible for them to do business with us. I mentioned these different things, email, phone calls, and text messages. I think that we need to be aware of how people communicate today and be as accessible to them as we can. We added the podium service in 2020. Actually, it was just before COVID, without knowing COVID was going to be a thing. And for us that year and for the years of COVID, it was a godsend to be able to talk to. You know, there was no face-to-face communication with our technicians and homeowners in the backyard anymore. So being able to talk to them through text and a platform that I can see what our technician is saying, what the homeowner is saying, and not have to worry about a he said, she said thing. So the liability aspect, it's convenient, and we still use it today, and we likely always will unless methods of communication change. But the aspect of the convenience of letting someone from their phone be able to talk to us, respond back to us from wherever they are, not have to worry about an email or taking a phone call, right? How many times have you been in some sort of a meeting with somebody? Maybe it's in person, maybe it's by phone, but you, you know, an office phone or something like that, but your texts are still coming through and you have the ability of multitasking, right? You can send a text back while you're talking to someone or in some kind of a meeting or a training or whatever the case may be. It's convenient. So we try to capitalize on that and be as convenient as we can to our customers and make it easy to do business. A lot of other ways that you can probably think of as you think of how you function and operate to make it easy for people to do business with you. We actually have an online store where people can not only buy our products that we sell, or a vast majority of them, but they can also buy services such as the openings, the closings, the initial vacuum processes we do, heater diagnostics, spa diagnostics we do for portable self-contained hot tubs, a similar diagnostic for those as we do our gas heaters. And people can purchase those through our online store. Schedule them in a way. I mean, they can't necessarily identify a specific day, but we allow them to pick a few days that we then do our best to try to accommodate for them. And it gives us another way of allowing customers to have easy access to us, to do business with us and perpetuate that relationship. So, and I guess the last thing I'll say on the communication side of things is communication is the most important tool that you have in obtaining and maintaining your customer base. And always try to do it at a high level. Even though we use this podium platform for texting, my requirement for our staff is that the texting is done at a very high level and that we're always cognizant of texts not necessarily being received in the manner in which they were intended. So when we send a text, you know, we do like to end it with some kind of an uplifting thing to make it seem like we're not negative people. And, you know, whether it's a thumbs up or a smiley face or some other kind of a gesture that we'll put in there to make them see that our tone is light and helpful, not obstinate and and not wanting to do business or communicate or whatever the case is. We always try to do those kinds of things, but we always try to speak in not text language. Sentences as you would if you were sending an email or speaking to someone, and avoiding as much as possible the typical text abbreviations and things like that, trying to keep it at a higher professional level on the texting than you might do with family and friends. But communicating with them at all times and living up to whatever kind of communication expectations you may give. If we have staff that tells somebody that I need to look into that and I will get back to you by the end of the day, we're doing all we can to ensure that they are getting back to them by the end of the day, even if it's just a matter of reaching out and say, hey, you know what, I don't have the answer yet, just wanted to reach back because I told you I would. I'll be looking into it again tomorrow and expect me to get back to you again then. Things that make people not think they were forgotten or that they don't matter or whatnot. You know, I want all of our customers to feel, and we say it all the time, and it's cliche, but feel like family. And it's the truth. We want our employees to treat people as if they're talking to their grandmother or grandfather and taking care of them in the same way that they might, you know, someone like a grandparent, as opposed to just a name on a computer screen or a number in a book. So, at any rate, keep your spirits up. I know we're all busy and it's going to get busier here as the next few weeks bear down on us. But if there's ever anything that I or any of us at Talking Pools can help you with, feel free to reach out either through the Facebook group or talkingpools@gmail.com. Rudy does a great job of sending those messages out to the rest of our group. And I certainly hope that you're tuning in to all of our shows Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. So with that, I'm going to say see you next week. Stay safe, everyone.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the Pool People, for the Pool People, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.